Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, Ryan Porth here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And it's that time. We go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Adam Vingan from The Athletic, proud Ole Miss supporter as well. Adam, what's going on, brother? How we doing?
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
We are great.
Hope Ole Miss.
Yeah, Joe Rexroad has taken great pleasure in your now really passionate support of Ole Miss University.
Yes, specifically Ole Miss, not Ole Miss.
Not Ole Miss. Ole Miss.
This was not you messing around. You actually thought it was Ole Miss?
No, I think I knew it was Ole Miss, but I was pronouncing it Ole Miss.
I think that may be some revisionist history.
I didn't realize I was doing it until I saw Porth cackling like a jackal in the other room.
Okay.
There we go. Jackaling, you might say.
Yeah, there you go. So now Adam, he's going to give him a Lane Kiffin t-shirt.
It's like calling Duke Duque.
Yes. All aboard the Lane train.
That's right. Adam, we got a lot to get to you with here today. Appreciate you taking time to join us. Let's start simply with Pecorine announcing his retirement. I know you and I have talked about this a lot since that time, but just your thoughts of his press conference, his career as a whole, what he means to the city of Nashville. How do you encapsulate this week for Nashville Predators fans and just the news surrounding Pecorine and his retirement?
Yes, certainly. You know, I think we all did see it coming. And we had talked previously that I had been told near the end of the regular season that Pekka's intent was to return next season, return to the NHL. Of course, things changed quickly, and he did mention in the press conference the other day that he stayed in Nashville longer than usual because he was seriously considering playing another season. But ultimately, he decided to retire. I think I speak for all of us when I say that we will miss him having him around. First of all, it was just great to be in a room together for the first time in a year and a half.
Yeah.
Now, I can't remember the last time I actually saw Rex Road. Well, I guess during the playoff. But the last time I saw Rex Road sans mask, it's been a while. But,
it's a beautiful sight. You know, it was a vision.
It was great to... Yes, it was great to see Pekka actually face-to-face because he hasn't seen any of us in a year and a half. And, you know, he seems content with the decision, minus not winning a Stanley Cup. You know, he has nothing left to play for. And, Joe, I know you and I talked about this, that I'm sure all of his now former teammates, past and present, are kicking themselves that they were not able to get a Stanley Cup for Pekka. But the one thing that stuck out to me, and I mentioned this yesterday with Caroline and Mark, that in the, you know, in the outpouring of support for Pekka over the past several days, a lot of it hasn't been about his career. It's been about him as a human being and the lives that he's touched since he joined the Nashville Predators 15 years ago. So, you know, we'll all miss him. It'll be weird as heck not seeing him in the dressing room. There'll definitely be plenty of number 35 jerseys left in the stands for as long as the Predators are here. I think I speak for all of us. Like I said, we'll miss him a lot.
What do you think? I mean, we're talking about, you know, backup goalie right now. But what do you think the loss is just in terms of the presence in the locker room? You know, I mean, is that something that you would consider a concern now? You know, just the fact that he's sort of been a backbone in there, even if he, you know, doesn't have the C, he's kind of been that guy for a lot of people in that building for a long time.
Yes, for sure. And, you know, certainly Pekka is going to leave a large void in that dressing room. He has been the emotional leader of the team for several years. But I am not concerned that the dressing room is going to crater as a result of that void. There are still plenty of strong voices in that room. Roman Josi, Matthias Ekholm, Ryan Ellis, you know, they will pick up where Pekka left off. And I think Mark Howard a couple of days ago made this point with Caroline and Jared, that, you know, not to diminish what Pecorine has meant to this organization, but, you know, he was the backup. And that isn't to say that he did not carry a lot of weight in that dressing room, because he absolutely did. But it wasn't as if, though, he's been the starter playing 60 games and now he's retiring. Over the past couple of seasons, we've been trending towards UC Saros becoming the clear number one. So, yes, there will be a loss in that dressing room. I do not believe at all that it will be catastrophic and that the room will splinter as a result of Pekka no longer being in the room.
Adam Vingan from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Adam, it's been an interesting week for, I would say, the Predators fan that maybe you started to become a fan or were a fan back in 2011, 2012, when the trio here was Ryan Suter, Pekka Rinne, and Shea Weber. Pekka Rinne announces his retirement. Ryan Suter has been bought out by the Minnesota Wild. And yesterday, some very concerning news on Shea Weber as well. Some injuries that have been plaguing him for a while. The thumb, obviously the leg and foot injuries as well, with the ankle being involved, and the knee. Maybe a concern that Shea Weber will be out all of next season, and maybe that his career is in jeopardy. What was your reaction to that? And if that's the case and his career is in jeopardy, what could that mean for the Predators down the line?
First of all, did either of you see, and I think Porth actually tweeted it out, the hockey news cover from like a decade ago?
I was just looking at it.
Ryan Suter, Shea Weber. Yeah, the best part, if you look at the top, the soaring stock of Matt Duchene.
Oh yeah, it's amazing.
Above the masthead, I guess you could call it.
It all comes full circle.
It's hilarious. But so as you mentioned, it was reported last night in multiple places that Shea Weber is in danger of missing all of next season because of the accumulation of injuries that he has piled up over the past few years, and that the potential that his career could be in jeopardy. So, of course, the first thing that Predators fans thought of is, what does this mean for the cap recapture penalty? Well, I actually just published a story on The Athletic sort of detailing what all of this could mean. Basically, what would happen if Shea were to retire this summer, the Predators would be on the hook for a roughly $4.9 million cap penalty over the next 5 years, which is the... So, cap recapture can be complicated to explain, but I'll do the best that I can. Shea Weber, that contract that the Predators matched from the Flyers, it was heavily front-loaded. It was a contract that is now considered illegal. The Predators had paid Shea Weber $56 million after 4 years when he was traded to the Canadiens for P.K. Subban. But his total cap hit over that time was somewhere $33, $34 million, $36 million, something along the lines of that.
Yep.
So the 24+ million difference is what the Predators are on the hook for. So that 4.9 million I just referenced is that big 24.5 number divided by five. So in a flat cap world, $4.9 million is not a small chunk of change. I mean, if you're looking at it from the Predators' perspective this offseason, that could prevent them from re-signing Mikhail Granlund, for example, which is something that they would like to do. The best-case scenario, of course, is that Shea Weber's career does not end, because we would like to see him continue to play out his career. But if it does have to end, that he ends up on long-term injured reserve. Think about in 2017, Marian Hossa, then of the Chicago Blackhawks, had a career-ending skin infection. The NHL... approved the Blackhawks placing Hossa on long-term injured reserve, so they suffered no recapture-related consequences as a result of that contract. So if the NHL were to deem Shea Weber unfit to continue his career and they could just place him on long-term injured reserve for the rest of his contract, the Predators are off the hook. But it is something to monitor for sure.
Yeah, so we were talking about the whole idea, what about like reacquiring him or something like that to, you know, to fudge it, basically. I mean, is that feasible?
You know what? I hear that a lot, and I'm not sure exactly how that works, but, you know, I don't know what it would take, you know, to acquire dead money. You know, you saw some of it happen in the expansion draft in 2017. David Clarkson, Mikhail Grabowski, you know, the those teams, I believe it was the Blue Jackets with Clarkson and the Islanders with Grabowski, you know, paid a lot of draft capital to trade those dead contracts to Vegas. So, you know, I'm not sure exactly how that works. I'm not sure what the incentive would be for the Predators. I don't know how much they would be willing to pay. You know, hopefully, like I said, either Shea's career continues or the Canadians are allowed to place him in long-term injury reserve.
Adam, last thing for you here. We are a couple of days away now from the protected and unprotected list being submitted by teams throughout the league and the expansion draft taking place next Wednesday. How do you think David Poile handles this? What do you think his protection list looks like? Who do you think is left unprotected by David Poile and the Nashville Predators as the expansion draft now less than a week away?
Thank goodness, because I'm sick of talking about it. But anyway, so my colleague at The Athletic, or Joe's colleague too at The Athletic, Pierre LeBrun, tweeted the other day that there is a growing sense, quote-unquote, that Matthew Shane is going to be left unprotected, which for many of us would not come as a surprise at all. We've been talking about that since the season ended. Pierre also reported on TSN Insider Trading that the Predators could look to move a defenseman before the expansion draft, before the deadline, to see if, you know, they could protect 4 and 4 instead of 3 and 5. You know, if that doesn't come to pass, I still think 5 defensemen and 3 forwards is a legitimate possibility. Because I always say, can you name more than 3 forwards on this team that are worthy of being protected in the expansion draft? That's the question I always ask, and I think the answer is always no. So, you know, right now, unless something changes, you know, I know that they're considering 3 and 5 as they have gone through all of their mock protection lists. You know, that to me would be the smartest course of action. But we'll find out this weekend. I assume that the protection list will be made public as they were 4 years ago.
Yep.
My guess would be that on Sunday it would happen, if they're due on Saturday. So we'll see. I'm just very glad not to have to talk about it anymore after a week from now.
So is Saros protected? I'm just trying to give you a flashback from 4 years ago.
I guess I've got to go now. Bye, guys.
Adam,
the most common question, the most common expansion-related question I have received this time around is about Alex Carrier, because of the games played requirement, because every team, I think it's 2 forwards and 1 defenseman that played in 27 games last season or 54 games over the past 2 seasons. And Carrier does not meet that threshold, but as long as there are 1 or 2 defensemen that do, it doesn't matter. And Matt Benning and Mark Borowiecki meet that criteria. So although Carrier does not meet the games played criteria, he is eligible to be taken.
There you go. Adam Vingan from The Athletic, our guest here on Robbie and Rexford. Adam, great stuff as always, my friend. We appreciate your perspective, and next week we'll talk to you about something else besides the expansion draft.
Oh, boy, I can't wait.
I'm sure you can. Adam Vingan, our guest here on Robbie and Rexford. We'll come back, react a little bit to what Adam had to say there, including what the future could look like with the Predators as it relates to Shea Weber's contract. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Go to thegamenashville.com to check out Nashville's best deals. Get a $50 gift card for only $25 to Nashville's newest and largest axe-throwing venue, Bad Axe Throwing Nashville, in downtown at 648 Fogg Street. Aim for a great time at Bad Axe Throwing Nashville while enjoying panoramic downtown views, live music on the Bad Axe stage, curated cocktails from the full bar, and a Northwoods-inspired menu with a southern twist. Get yours now while they last at thegamenashville.com. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexroad, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch. Thanks to Adam Vingan from The Athletic for joining us in the last segment. And, Joe, part of what we got into there with Adam was a concerning situation now with Shea Weber. Multiple reports yesterday that Shea Weber has lingering foot, ankle, knee, and thumb injuries, and that maybe the accumulation of those injuries can keep him out all of next season, and that potentially his career could be in jeopardy when it comes to those injuries and trying to recover for them. As we know, Shea Weber, a very physical player, he has been able to play through things that a lot of other players would not. I remember a time here in Nashville where he had a broken foot and he was playing through it. He tried to play through a subluxed kneecap as well. So Shea Weber willing to do things that a lot of other players wouldn't, but I don't know. And there's some uncertainty out there from a medical point of view as well, if he's going to be able to come back from this or not. And first off, I understand the reaction from Predators fans yesterday. You want to know what that means for the Predators and, you know, what sort of, you know, salary cap penalties they could be on the hook for down the stretch, and I understand that. Firstly, I'm just concerned about Shea Weber. I hope that he's able to battle through this and that he's able to come back and continue to play, because I would hate to see him go out like this. And when you think about the injuries he's been battling through, it was pretty incredible to watch what he was able to do in the playoffs in order to help lead this Montreal team to the Stanley Cup final. But there are salary cap realities that could be in play for the Predators. We heard Adam Vingan in the last segment. If he were to retire, the Predators would be on the hook, I believe, the next 5 years for a cap hit at $4.9 million. So almost $5 million per season. And Joe, as you know, in a flat cap era, that is a pretty significant amount of money that the Predators would be on the hook for. As Adam mentioned, probably the best case scenario if Weber's unable to play is him going on long-term injured reserve. The NHL and the NHLPA are currently exploring what that could look like, but no decision has been made. So what do you think of this? This news of Shea Weber, the injuries that have kind of mounted up at this point, and what this could mean for the Predators down the road from a salary cap perspective?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is, my gosh, we all just watched him go on this long playoff run, and it's not like he just picked up these injuries. I mean, no. Think about what he's been playing through and at the level he was playing through, and pretty amazing stuff. And it would be too bad after this if he had to hang it up. I mean, he's had a heck of a career. Certainly, you know, he wants a cup, wanted a cup, got pretty close. But, I mean, let's face it, that was overachieving to get this close this year. I mean, he's done a ton and has been a key player, a physical player for so long in such a physical league. So you certainly would understand if he hung it up. I still have my doubts that he will want to, just based on his track record. You know, like, even if it takes a year to get back, I could see him still wanting to do that. But if not, yeah, I mean, it's the whole thing is, I think it's kind of bizarre, this whole cap recapture thing. There's a lot of things about the NHL I find a bit strange.
Yep.
And you think about $5 million basically, plus the $2 million that you are paying every year for the next few to keep Kyle Turris from playing for you. That's $7 million you can't use for things you really need to use it for. That'd be big.
That's tough to swallow, and it's kind of funny to think about, but the penalty in some ways has actually gotten a little bit better for the Predators. It's spread out a little bit more over time. There was a scenario under the old CBA where if he retired in, I believe, 2025, which I think would be the last year of his contract, right before
it. Before the final year.
If he retired before the final year, the Predators would have been on the hook for a cap hit of $24.5 million for 1 year.
Based on
$24.5 million.
Yeah. Yeah. First of all, like, seriously, just bring up Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Just play with the Admirals. But, you know, based on Shea Weber's presser when he came back the next year, after being traded.
Yeah.
Like, I could see him, and if David Poile were still the GM, you know, in 2025, I could see him be like, you know what, I think I'm going to retire right now.
Yeah.
Just seems like the right time. But that's off the table now.
And looks to be at this point. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Carlos from Sparta, Wisconsin, texting in. The recapture fee is unfair to the Predators. They were really forced to go with the contract due to the Flyers' offer sheet. Preds had to give that contract under duress. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, make the Flyers pay. How about the Flyers? Can they split it with them?
Yeah, maybe so. Well, as Adam pointed out, I mean, the contract that Shea Weber signed is now illegal in the NHL. You can't front-load a contract like that anymore. So it's a tough spot for the Predators to be in. Now, I think back to the time. They had just lost Ryan Suter. They had to match. Like they could not let Shea Weber walk out the door. And a lot of people blamed Shea Weber at the time. When you got a 14-year, $110 million contract on the table, you sign that thing.
Yeah, come on.
Like, it doesn't really matter where it is. You sign that thing. So he signed it. Do I think he would have cared had he gone to play for Philadelphia? No, because he signed the contract. Do I think that meant he absolutely wanted to get out of Nashville? No, I don't. And he's basically said as much since then. It's a 14-year, $110 million contract. You sign it. But it is what it is. The Predators matched it, and they knew at the time that they matched it that this could happen. And now that would also require, we didn't know that he was going to get traded either. So there is that
right
to keep in mind as well. But, yeah, I mean, it's a tough spot for the Predators to be in. They did have to match it. I thought it was a great move that they did match it. But you could have to pay the piper coming up here. And it's, look, I think there's a good chance, maybe good's too strong a word, I think there's a decent chance that if it ends up going this way, he'll probably be on long-term injured reserve and it won't be an issue. But it is, I think, a concern right now if you're a Predators fan.
I mean, that's the reasonable outcome if it gets to this, to retirement, is that,
yeah,
isn't it? I mean, really.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean it'll happen because reasonable things don't always happen in this league.
No, they do not.
That would be, I mean, it's kind of ridiculous.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Brian texting in, Shea Weber does not succumb to injuries. Injuries succumb to Shea Weber. Shea Weber is Chuck Norris, according to Brian.
Nice. The octagon. Don't get Shea Weber in the octagon.
That'd be a scary sight.
Yeah, my gosh. So the foot thing is it like Lisfranc or something like that?
I don't know. I don't know if there's ever been anything specifically attached to it.
But it's basically degenerative. I mean,
yeah.
So you're going to make it. Because, you know, you don't want to be at the point where you struggle to walk 10 years from now.
Right.
If you're Shea Weber. You got to think about stuff like that.
Right.
But that's the thing. You think about all the injuries, all the battering his body has taken. Think about what he's done to everybody else.
Yeah. Been pretty... As Elliot Friedman put it, the only people that probably wouldn't miss Shea Weber if this is it would be the opposing forwards. Probably, you never want to see a player go out like this, but they probably wouldn't mind not having to go into the corner and take on Shea Weber.
Yeah.
Would be my guess.
It's a lot of years of pounding.
So best of luck to Shea Weber and former Predators captain. Hopefully he can recover from this. And if not, wish him the best of luck moving forward. But it's been a tough week. If you're a big-time Ryan Suter, Shea Weber, Pecorine fan, this week has come at you like a ton of bricks. Ryan Suter getting bought out, Pecorine retiring, and now the future of Shea Weber in doubt as well. So we'll continue to monitor that situation as it develops. When we come back, there was an interesting exercise done at theathletic.com about the upcoming expansion draft with the Seattle Kraken. Should the Predators be jealous of the spot the Kraken are in? We'll tell you what we mean by that coming up on the other side. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. ESPN 94.9 is the official English radio home of the Nashville Soccer Club. Be listening in on Saturday night as Nashville SC takes on Chicago at Nissan Stadium. Pre-game starts at 7:15 and the match begins at 7:30. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. CeCe texting in on the text line, I was sickened by the Shea Weber news after reading the article last night. My prayers are with him and his family. The Predators making another bad contract decision is not surprising. I don't know if you put this contract decision on the Predators.
Again, we're going back to the decision of 2012. Right.
By the way, they did not sign him to this contract. They just matched.
Yeah.
So this was not the contract they drew up. But they did make the decision to match it.
What was the timing on Suter had left? How long? Just like
If memory serves me correctly, like 2 weeks before Suter was gone.
2 weeks before. So you're staring at the prospect of losing both of them.
You can't. Yeah, he couldn't. At the time of the franchise, it was not an option. You had to match. So And by the way, Shea Weber, for pretty good the majority of his Predators career after that, you know, minus like one game in San Jose, pretty good player for the Predators as well.
He also fetched you a player who came in and
got to Stanley Cup
final. Did some things that changed the trajectory of the franchise.
Absolutely. So I think all in all, a pretty good decision by the Predators on that front, but they may have to face the music if this goes a certain direction with Shea Weber, so we'll keep you updated on that. They've come out, Joe, with a very interesting piece at The Athletic, which is where you work. And Eric Duhocek has put this out there, looking ahead to the expansion draft, and has taken a different approach. And the title of the article at TheAthletic.com is Hold'em or Fold'em, which NHL teams would prefer an expansion-style reboot over what they currently have. So essentially what this article is doing, it's going team by team throughout the NHL and asking the question, are they better off staying the course, or would they be better off just totally starting over and having an expansion draft a la the Seattle Kraken as they are coming into the league? And there are some interesting responses in here. You can go through a lot of teams. I mean, the Red Wings have been in rebuild mode forever, and the verdict is hold them. So they feel like in this article, better off just staying the course with Steve Yzerman now in charge and some of the young talent they built up there.
Stevie Y making it happen.
But we get down to the Nashville Predators. Would they be better off staying the course as is, or would they be better off folding it up and going with an expansion draft? And Duhocek in this piece has said, fold them to the Predators, that they would be better off going the expansion draft route. And he says, quote, Nashville's salary cap situation was even more complicated a few years back, but then the Predators traded PK Subban, bought out Kyle Turris, and now just have to figure out what to do with Johansson and Duchesne, who count $8 million against the cap each and respectively, and are signed until the 2024-25 and the 25-26 season, respectively. Johansson a little bit less term on his contract. Neither is producing anywhere near the numbers these contracts imply. Nashville does have one of the NHL's top talents in Roman Josi. Eli Tolvanen finally looks like an NHL contributor after longer than anticipated minor league apprenticeship. It's hard to quantify how much the Predators improved in the second half. Chemistry would factor into the decision, because if it was strictly based on contractual commitments, you would have to say the Predators are better off folding them. So what do you think of the idea that in this hypothetical world, if the Predators were given the opportunity to have an expansion draft like Seattle and completely gut their team, they would be better off going that route than they would be sticking with what they have right now and trying to make it work with this current roster?
Yeah, it's a really good idea for a piece, for one thing.
Yep.
And it's an interesting, I guess I'm not shocked that he went Fold'em with the Preds. But I think he hit on the thing that's tough is like, okay, 27-1. Some of the stuff you like to see, some of the young players, what does it mean? You figured out, I mean, you may have found your next goaltender long term. You have a great player in Josi, you have some other good players. I mean, you're competitive now. So what does that mean? There aren't too many Fold'ems in here. You know, obviously, the only one that I knew for sure would be a Fold'em would be Buffalo. Like, yes. That was a gimme. But he doesn't have many. You got Arizona. You got Chicago, which is interesting. Some could argue the other way on that.
San Jose.
I think the Kings, too.
Yep.
So, I mean, there aren't many in here that he goes Fold'em on. It's an interesting. I'd love to see the poll on that. The poll results from Predators fans, non-Facebook Predators fans. If you talk about the Preds on Facebook, you're exempt from any discussion or poll voting. But
I'm interested that he's got LA at Fold'em too, because they've kind of gone through their rebuilding process. They're still in the middle of it, but they've got some pretty good youngsters coming up through the pipeline that I think they'll, in a few years, they're going to be fine.
Right, like he's got Ottawa as a Hold'em.
Yeah.
For example, now of course
maybe that's Pierre McGuire coming in.
That's true. Well, that was before this came out before Pierre.
That's true.
Went there, didn't it?
I think so.
Now he'd say Fold'em. But yeah, I agree. That is, it's like the teams that have kind of gone through the pain. Yeah, you probably think hold them. That's the thing with the Preds is they really haven't. How much pain do you have to go through? Well, we've seen like the Red Wings go through a whole bunch of it and then keep going through it, and then keep going through it, and really take a long time to see light at the end of the tunnel. That's what you don't want. You know, if you were to, I mean, realistically, obviously, you're not doing this. No one's doing this. But just the question of, like, the full rebuild.
Right.
You know, trading some of your top players for assets to just, I don't think the Preds are going to do that. But I think to some extent they're trying to do the reset, the soft, whatever the heck Vingan calls it.
I call it the retool on the fly.
Retool on the fly? That's what I'm calling it
now.
Okay.
Retool on the fly.
What's the Vingan term? Soft reset?
Soft reset.
Yeah. That's anybody in this position would prefer that.
Sure.
We've seen some teams, you know, like Boston, when you have a great nucleus, then you can do that. But the Preds isn't great.
Right.
And that's the problem.
Well, and as pointed out in this article, you have to figure out what to do with Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchene, who each count $8 million against the cap. To me, if with the expansion draft coming up, if you're not able to move either one of those guys, unless their production just gets, I mean, demonstrably better in the regular season, you're stuck at that point. It's so hard to win if your top players aren't producing at the level you need them to produce. Like, think about Tampa Bay's top players. Yeah, they've got some guys making a lot of money, but they're also producing at that level. That's the difference. I mean, if you're going to have to pay your good players at some point if you want to keep them. You just need them to, after you pay them, continue to be good players. And right now, too many guys on the Predators are not playing to the level their salary would indicate, and that puts you in a really tough spot. To the point where I'm not really surprised they're a fold-em in this discussion. I'm not saying that they would just absolutely be better off if they were Seattle coming into the league and they were just starting from scratch, because I do think they've got some good pieces that I'm intrigued to see what they look like in the future. But until either the performance with those two guys or the equation changes with those two guys and one of them's not here anymore and you've got more financial room to change things with your group, you're in a tough spot.
Well, like if you asked it this way, okay, you know that you're basically going to be down to hoping Duchene and Johansson have huge upticks. You're not going to be able to, like, they are coming back. If you knew that, and that, then the choice is that scenario or straight up fold them. I think there'd be a lot more fold them votes. A
lot of them.
You know, because there's still the hope that somehow, you know, the Preds can unload one of those contracts and then really have maneuvering room to do something else.
Right.
I don't think there's a ton of realism to that right now.
Well, I mean, unless Ron Francis saw the growing sense that Matt Duchene's going to be available and thought to himself, okay.
Really?
Well, that changes everything.
He's like, I had no idea.
I did go through the list earlier, and I still think it's a very small chance. But I went through the list earlier of the Athletic has also come out with kind of who they think is going to be selected off of each team in the NHL through the expansion draft. There's not a ton of top-level talent in terms of the forwards, right? I mean, they've got some interesting defensemen, Mark Giordano from Calgary, who is older now. He carries a pretty high cap hit. He's not the same player he used to be. I think he's like, what is he, 2 years, 3 years removed off winning a Norris Trophy? Like, I think there's a good chance he gets selected by Seattle. But some of the forwards they had were, Evgeny Dadonov out of Ottawa. I think he makes $5.5 million. They had James Van Riemsdyk out of Philadelphia, who makes $7 million. Like, I don't think it's crazy to think that maybe instead of taking Van Riemsdyk, Seattle likes Duchene, and they think that, you know, putting him down the middle, they're willing to pay, you know, that $8 million per year to take a chance on Matt Duchene. I still don't think it's likely. I just don't think it's totally impossible that we're going to see it happen, and I think it will require the Predators sweetening the pot a little bit.
Well, and I also could see Ron Francis saying, well, no thanks on Duchene, but Johansson interests me.
Yep.
I could see David Poile being like, well, that's not the one I was hoping for.
Right.
So then what do? You still have a chance to unload $8
million. Well, that's the dilemma. Like, what's more important? Unloading $8 million per season for at least the next 4 years if it's Johansson, no matter what? Is that more important? Or is it angling it to make it Matt Duchene? Like, I honestly, like, I might be to the point where it's just get the $8 million off the books and see what you can do with it from there.
But in that scenario, let's say it was Johansson and they can't get Granlund back and they're left with Duchesne has to be back down the middle.
Well, at that point, you're going full rebuild, right? Like, if you can't get Granlund back and you lose Johansson, like, you're going rebuild. You're trading off Ellis. You might be trading off Ekholm or Forsberg at that point. Like, so, to me, there's no scenario.
So basically, you're folding them, but you can't really fold them.
Right.
But that's folding them.
Yeah, that's folding them. It's an interesting
that's
spot.
That's real
to
life
be in.
Folding them.
Well, and, you know, Adam Vinged pointed out that Pierre LeBrun reporting on TSN Insiders that maybe the Predators trying to move a defenseman before the expansion draft. I would find that to be unlikely that they're able to get that done, but that would certainly be interesting. Does that signal that maybe there is four forwards they want to protect? Maybe it's both Yarncroke and Sissons. Maybe it's Johansson. Like, I don't think Johansson's going to be protected, but I don't think it's crazy to suggest that he would be.
I won't be shocked. Like, if he were protected, I would be shocked if Duchesne was protected.
Yes.
That would be the shocking outcome.
We'll continue this discussion when we come back. Looking ahead to the expansion draft for the Predators, 2 days away now from the protected list required to be submitted by the NHL. We'll get to that and your thoughts as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Final segment of the day, streaming live on Periscope, on YouTube, and on Twitch as well. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic with you today. It's been a monumental day here on the show. Michelle has been kicking butt back there for the last 2 hours operating the board. Michelle, you've done a great job.
I would just like to say I've done 2 hours and 15 minutes more than Ryan Porth this morning.
That is true.
Ooh, nice.
Porth immediately has turned into a slacker. Got his hair looking good today, thinks he can do whatever he wants, and immediately turn into a slacker.
Look at him, he's just kind of reclined back there, just relaxing. Just must be nice.
Must be nice to be Ryan Porth.
So, Michelle, as you grow into this role, we'll have some musical discussion. So give us a little.
Listen, I saw you like the Killers, Mr. Brightside. I just played.
It's good one. I like it. See, now that what year did that song come out?
About 2003. Okay. So that's really groundbreaking.
You claim I like nothing since 1996. Not true.
Well, I was born in 97, so I hope you like me, Joe.
There you go. Just hey. Musically.
I have a 16-year-old son, loves David Bowie, loves the Beatles. I didn't make him do that. Did you?
Oh my gosh.
Oh good.
Good. I've had a lot of spicy takes before. I don't know that I've ever received as much crap as I got yesterday from the Beatles.
Thank goodness. God awful Beatles. The god awful Beatles.
Now I also received some messages of support as well.
Yeah, well.
So it's not like I'm the only one that feels this way.
Yeah. Well, you should start a god-awful Beatles non-fan club.
Maybe I should.
Greg Pogue, you know, who has been ripping you consistently. He said he thinks this is like a trend among young people. They like to rip on the Beatles. Is this true?
Oh, I've not seen it. If it is, I just don't think that they're very good.
Right.
That's really what it – like, people keep trying to find some deeper meaning to this for me. I just don't like them. It's fine if you do. It's not going to hurt my feelings.
No, I'm not mad at you.
I just don't like them.
I'm not mad at you. I just want you to make sure you have an informed opinion first.
Right. Okay. I respect
you. Actually listen to them. I'm sad for you. I'm not mad at you. I feel like I'm failing you in a way.
Do you?
Anyway, Michelle, yeah, we'll have some good music.
Yes, we will.
Actually, it's a wide range yeah. And different, you know. And then you bring your...
Yeah, I'll open you guys up to some new genres.
Okay,
that's right.
That's cool.
We probably need to be opened up a little bit to some new genres.
Probably.
I'm an old soul at heart, other than the Beatles.
Yeah.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Kathleena texting in, Robbie, why are they still considering protecting Sissons. I just don't see why he can play anywhere is a reason to keep him when he isn't scoring. We lost 20 goals in letting Craig Smith go. I just don't get this love affair with Colton Sissons.
I don't get this love affair Kathleen has with hating on Colton Sissons.
He, for what he does, he's a good player. Good salary. I think that's the main thing. His salary is cheap, and he's got a lot of term on it. Like Colton Sissons, she's right. He's not going to score 20. He's probably not going to approach 20 goals. But he is in his role. I think he's good at what he does. I think
team has four lines of 20 goals.
Well, to me, the bigger indictment is if Colton Sissons is a guy that you're considering protecting and able to protect as one of four forwards, maybe even three forwards, and he's one of those three or four, that's a much bigger indictment on the rest of your forward group than it is on Colton Sissons.
That's fair, but I mean, even go back 4 years ago, and it was the whole Neil Yarncroke discussion. I mean, the choice was
the term.
Yeah, the choice was the term. So that's part of. But that's fair. That's fair to bring up. But Kathleen, yeah, like Craig Smith, you know, he's moved on. He was fine in what he did. I don't think that like Craig Smith's departure is some death blow to this right. team. I think Colton Sissons again. I just, that fourth line this year, the herd line. I think he was a really important part of what they did.
Let's go back to the text line. Ron texting in, you guys should welcome Michelle by everybody going to get pedicures. So now that you've opened this box, everybody wants us to get pedicures, and they're not going to stop until we get it done.
Are you a pedicure fan?
Joe, a pedicure will change your life.
Oh, wow.
Now, I've had one, unlike these guys.
I've not had one.
I've had one, and honestly, because my wife and my daughter – made me do it, and it weirded me out. It kind of hurt and tickled at the same time.
Looking forward to it.
However, I get it. I understand why people like them, and I would like these guys to be able to judge for themselves. Like if you hate on the Beatles, listen to them first. If you hate pedicures, have one first. Now you haven't listened to Beatles. Get out of here. Hey, Elijah's here to throw some middle digits around at Beatles haters.
That's how we ended the show yesterday. Let's go back to the text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Shane from Ashland City texting in. Do not let Sissons go. Leave him alone. I don't think he's going anywhere.
No, I don't either. Everybody can't score. You got to have the grinders too.
They do need somebody to score.
This is true. That would help.
Got Brian on the text line. Colton Sissons is a Swiss Army knife. You keep him. You keep Rex Croak as well. Colton Sissons' game-winning goal in Game 6 of the 2017 Finals. Screw Kevin Pollak. So people still very upset about Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Final. I don't blame them.
As well they should be. It kind of came back up again this week, you know?
Got a text that says, how come Vegas does not have to give up a player in the expansion draft? That is very frustrating. You've been in the league now for 4 years. Under the rules, you don't have to give up anybody in the expansion draft. There's going to be a lot of people that hate Vegas. They already do.
It really is amazing.
Yeah.
What an existence so far. Talk about starting on third base.
Three
man.
Runs.
And then being able to stay there.
At least the conference final or more, and now the expansion draft comes around 4 years later, and you don't have to give up anybody. It's a nice life for Vegas.
Yeah. Good point.
That does it for us today here on the show. Michelle, great job. We appreciate you. Joe Rexroad, we'll see you in the morning.
BBN forever.
That's right. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Darren, Donica, Chase coming up next. You're listening to ESPN 102.5 The Game.